So we are in the closing period of the time of the retreat together. And of course it's a full day today, and then entering into tomorrow morning, and during tomorrow morning Sandhya and Iran we'll speak about the daily life and the transition from here into the other world, and also include some general information, and also speak to a little bit about some of the upcoming programs of Tovana and other points of helpful information. And this enables the some ease in the flow from the silence and the stillnesses and the meditations of the retreat into the daily life. Before arriving, that's actually some months before arriving, as always, Tovana and I exchanged with regards to the dates of this retreat. And as sometimes, actually it's the first time, happens, there was a little bit, in English we say, the ship's passing in the night. And in this case, the retreat finishing tomorrow morning, and I had understood it might be a little bit before. So the consequence of the misunderstanding is that tomorrow morning, while you're enjoying breakfast, I'll be having croissant and coffee at the airport. So it won't be as good as last night. Somebody asked me, please tell us, what was the cappuccino like? Very good. So after the Dharma inquiry here this evening, one of the good staff is kindly driving me to Sangha House in Tel Aviv, and then in the morning time, 5:30 tomorrow morning, Tammy will kindly pick me up from Sangha House and take me to the airport. So in like 30-40 years, it'll be the first time I've ever missed being on the final morning. And we could, of course, made it one day shorter, then I would have been here. But the thought frankly arose in my mind, I think it's better that you are here than I am here. And in the good hands, of course, of Sandhya and Iran. So let me just speak to you a little bit about this period of time, and you will have heard briefly today that in the closing period of the retreat, there is this expression of this lovely and very, very long-standing tradition of dana. And dana means the gift, the practice of generosity, the expressions of appreciation. And the act of dana, the act of the gift, can show itself in many, many ways. The good team with the managers and the staff and the cooks come and, as a real expression of their dana, give tremendous support through the kindness and the work and the preparation of the food and the organizing and the thousand and one details before, during, and after the retreat. And that's made it possible for all of us to be here, and because of that, those acts of generosity. With the long-standing tradition of dana, it's often referred to in a particular way. And it's the way of giving support to programs and to centers and to teachings and to practices. And my first contact with it, when I was on the road, this is 1970 and was hitchhiking down through Thailand. And I asked to visit, find out where there was a Buddhist monk who could speak English and with whom I could ask some questions. And I was directed to this forest monastery in southern Thailand, Wat Suan Mok. Wat means monastery, Suan means garden, Mok means moksha. So it's the garden of the monastery of the Garden of Liberation, where a teacher, Ajahn Buddha Dasa, Dasa means servant, servant of the Buddha, actually lived there 50 to 60 years in the forest. And I stayed about two or three week period. And at the end of the stay there, I said to Ajahn Buddha Dasa, how much per day is it to stay in the monastery? And he said to me, it's all on dana. Of course, I never heard this word. I thought it might have been the generosity of a woman named Dana. But anyway, there's one in the hall here. And then he explained, as I'm explaining to you, and I just thought it was just amazing. I'd never heard of a situation where one stayed in this case, a monastery for 2 or 3 weeks, and one just gave a dana, gave a donation to give support to the monastery and support to others, and the support obviously for one's stay. And it was really heart-touching and warming, the trust that was expressed. The outcome of that and much else, that this tradition of donation of the act of the gift has been sustained now for some various ways, 2,500 years. And much of the tradition is quite supportive and reliant on it. And this, these expressions of dana, of the act of the gift. In the act of the gift, there is a mutual understanding which takes place. And the understanding from the giver, the one who gives, that gift, in it terms of the financial gift, because there are many other kinds of dana as well, that the gift itself is one which gives support to what's called the basic requisites of life. And these include food, it includes home, shelter. It includes clothing, the necessities of day-to-day life that we use, and it includes medicine when needed. And these requisites are there so that for the receiver of the dana, whether it's both, in this case, Tovana, or whether it's the teachers, that everything which is given, the understanding is that the beneficiary, in the receiving of it, uses the money wisely, respectfully, sensitively, to give support to the necessities. And that agreement and that mutual understanding is a very important aspect of the trust which is exercised through the dana, because it's an expression from one heart to the other. Generally speaking, in the day-to-day world that we live in, the approach, of course, as we know, is quite different. And the approach is on an agreement with the general principle, I think is absolutely fine, as I don't have any difficulty with it, of what we might call payment for services. So if you or I go to take part in a course or in a training program or see the therapist or the counselor or the dentist or the lawyer and much else, then there's an understanding, generally speaking, it's the payment for the services. The person offers an hour's time, which I noticed with some psychotherapists is getting less and less. And the person makes the payment, and that's the agreement. One of the conveniences of that way is that they don't have to give the Dharma talk. Which I... anyway. And in the keeping of the this tradition alive, when we speak of Tovana itself, that previously, in some years ago, people would come and there would be the daily rate, and everything possible through Tovana was to try to ensure that it was as affordable as possible for as many people. And Tovana worked incredibly hard to take this kind of care with everything that was spent to keep the daily rate as low as possible. And then Tovana and Stephen and I and Sandhya and Iran and others, we said, let's take a little bit of a step into the unknown and let's experiment for a year and let Tovana offer these retreats which are taking place totally on the Dharma basis. There was some real concern among some people in the Sangha. Now, this is Israel, it won't work here, etc. People will sign up, and if they're not, they don't have to pay to sign up, they'll sign up and you'll never see them, and all the other concerns. So Tovana agreed with the step into the dark, do it for 1 year. And Tovana, unlike at the Buddha's time, the Buddha had all these rather rich benefactors. So they would cover if there was shortfalls, things like that. But Tovana hasn't found one, and hurry up and find one. There must be a few rich people in Israel. Anyway, so it was very much on the expression of the trust there. And it was quite breathtaking and beautiful that you and others from the previous retreats genuinely and deeply dug deep into your pockets, into your wallets, into your purses, and gave support. And what that did, each time that happened, and as I say, it's been running, must be 10 years now, must be, each time that, what that, it did twofold. In a way, your acts of the Dharma, of the support, actually ensures that the next retreat can be on the Dharma. Because the center, could not do it if the donations didn't come in, and then there would have to be a rethink. So, each time a person gives, in a way, one's giving for this, but also beautifully ensuring that others can give as well. And one of the precious aspects of the Dharma, and it's so beautiful, and the two voices that I hear, both here and overseas, one is that by offering on the Dharma, it makes the retreats available, you know, to everybody. And when we're speaking of everybody, it's the poor pensioner, and it's the teenager, and it's the person in the army, and it's the person who's unemployed, and the person in the debt, and the single mum and single dad, and others. And it makes it also an equally possible as well for those who have the blessings of some income or some savings, and the kind generosity of people giving, and sometimes really genuinely giving, really gives support to the people in the hall here who find it, you know, difficult with the finances. And so the extra acts of generosity and giving give support to everybody else. And of course, when one thinks of the outgoing costs of offering the retreats, and plenty of it is somewhat hidden. So each person, all of us that come, for each person, there is money per person which goes to the kibbutz. And we're really grateful to Endo for making this available to us. And as I say, we're using it for some 10 years now. And it was an act of trust on their part because of the Dana system. And we've made very good friends around the kibbutz. They know us, and sometimes, as we see, sometimes the group will come in and, you know, bring in the odd scorpion and dog, and, you know, and as a Buddhist will say, all sentient beings are welcome. And so all of that is kind of the open and warm spirit in it. So there's the food costs, the costs from taking the train and then the plane to Israel. So that's one half of the journey. And then I go teach in Germany tomorrow. So then in Germany they pay the return leg of the journey. It's shared in both directions. And of course all the other running of the office and the various necessities, everything, you know, that you see in here and much, much else is all from the Dana. It's all people saying, we love this program. And the second lovely aspect of making it so available through this way is that people, when I go overseas, people often in other retreat centers, Buddhist centers in the West, and there are a growing number of them, and it's a tremendous exploration which is going on. The most frequent question I asked, how is Israel being able to run these retreats just on Dana? How do they do it? And when in some centers, like in California, Buddhist centers there, and in Massachusetts, you know, people are paying, $100 a day and all these extra costs. So your kindness and generosity is really keeping a wonderful tradition and spirit alive. It's giving lots of inspiration to others. And many of our programs in India, with the retreats and the yatra in France and in the Himalayas and much, much else, all it's running on this act of the generosity, the act of the gift to give support. And finally, last but not least, I hear, are the three of us, the three teachers. And there's one who's been living on Dana, first, of course, as a monk, and then afterwards over the years there, that sometimes in life, the movement of things, and so initially it just started off with supporting moi there. And then my dearest Gwenwyn, the daughter of my mother, she got pregnant, and as I said at the wedding, my daughter a few weeks ago, the reason that you are able, should I tell? No. So I have to give the 8 minutes father's speech at the wedding to thank everybody, and to say a few words about one's daughter, which I. So I had my 8 minutes. Of course, you know, I can't talk just for 8 minutes. It's unheard of. So I went, I think, to about 14 minutes, and then people started coughing. So so I thanked everybody for, I thanked everybody for coming. And I said, you may wonder how it is, 160 people, and you're all here, and we're so thrilled to have you. And I said, the reason that you're all here is that Gwenwyn, my partner at the time, she was in her mid-20s, and I was in my mid-30s. And I said, like many of you, you know, poor and struggling to make ends meet. So the reason that you are all here is because we couldn't afford a condom. And everybody, I'm not kidding, everybody, because you know, it's an Anglo-Caribbean culture. Everybody cracked up with laughter except one. Gwenwyn laughed, but her partner, not a movement of a smile there. And he's rather a serious person. And that triggered the Shorter's friends, because they know him. They've got, they're giggling, because they were laughing, and then they saw he was like this. Anyway. Right. And so one went from one to two, partner, to three, the daughter, and I used to wonder, whoa, it's going to stretch the kindness and generosity of people in giving support to the family. And somehow it, you know, carried on, the flow carried on. Sangha very kindly got a deposit for me, so we have a small house which I've been living in now for 33 years, and the Sangha made it possible. And then, of course, as many of you know, fathers, my daughter, as parents, started university, and I think, oh God, that's another stretch on the dana, there. And then we, you know, large retreats, sometimes we have three teachers, five teachers, eight teachers, 10 teachers. And, oh my God, this is really stretching the Sangha here. And then my daughter gets pregnant at 18, and the two fathers, I love them, but not totally. And, so they were never around. So I was the grandfather and was giving support. So to the three of them and the daughter. And somehow the kindness, the dana, the generosity of, people has just been, exceptional, there. And I have to say in Israel, I mention it every year, it is extraordinarily exceptional. And I know I shouldn't compare, it's very naughty, but forgive me. But in California, we get the same number of people on a retreat, and turning up in their Porsches, really, honestly, Mercedes-Benz, and SUVs. Do you remember those SUVs? Yeah. Which I once referred to in the talk as simply useless vehicles. And the dana dropped for that retreat. No, it didn't. There. But given, you know, a rather privileged age group, many in their 50s and 60s, the generosity of the dana here is pretty well the same as it is in California. And you're not turning up in those kind of cars, I see. And it just shows how, you know, the care and the support, and it's enabling Tovana to do so many precious projects as well, and for the teachers to do much of the work outside. And of course, with Iran living in Klil, and with the three children and all the costs there and all the support and all the extra work that goes on outside of the retreat events. And all of that's made possible because the Sangha say the teachings and these practices and the teachers are worth supporting, and this helps to keep the flow of it going. And similarly with Sandhya as well there, huge amount of service for the dana. And everything from the emails and the one-to-ones and the communications and the organizing and the preparation and the reflections and meditations and time for personal retreats. All of that's really made possible because, all you say, teachers and Tovana is worth supporting. It's a very beautiful tradition. And we are, you know, extremely appreciative, obviously, and very, very grateful for your for your kindnesses. Anything else to? Oh yes. So with regard to the practicalities, and one just small thing on that. When I arrived, Leela and Stephen told me of a new creative way. Can I mention that? Okay. Different. Yeah. To with regard to the Dana, and it came out as some idea that I think Jonathan and a couple of the other teachers there. So in the past, and still is completely available, as some of you will know who have been here, there's the box, the Dana box, and one of course is to cover all these expenses with regard to the retreat, and then the second one is for the teachers. So the box for the teachers is put there, but there was and then people just, you know, quite anonymously just put the Dana into the box. But there's a request and a feeling as well that sometimes to make for those who wish and only for those who wish to actually make give the Dana directly as it's done in Buddhist countries. And so the envelopes are provided and the person just puts, if she or he wishes, the Dana in an envelope. We in the hall there, hanging around on a couple of chairs there, and then there's the box there, and people just put the Dana in the envelope, and sometimes people write a few words in there, and it's kind of more personal, and it's exactly the form. I don't think Jonathan and Leela would have known this. It's exactly the same form that's used in the monasteries in Thailand. So when people come to give Dana to the abbot there, they put it in an envelope and then just hand it over, and then the abbot receives the envelope, and that gesture is a bit more personal. And as we do the same when I'm teaching in the Thai monastery in Saranath, on the Dana, we put the Dana in the envelope, and part of the Dana is for the monastery. So the manager and I take it to the abbot in the envelope, sit down with a thank you, and then offer the Dana in the envelope to the abbot. So both options are completely open. Either way, you can just put it in the box if you wish, or just come where we'll be sitting. And I'm going to write a little blog about this new method there, and put it out, because there are about 4,000 on the blog, and at least a couple of hundred of the teachers around the world, and it might just inspire them to take an interest in this form. Enough. Thank you. Thank you very much for lending an ear. All right.